You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Extended social isolation, layoffs, a run on firearms. These are knock-on effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, and they are also conditions that have suicide experts worried about at-risk Americans. Guns in America's Heath Druzan has more. And a note to listeners, this story does deal with suicide.
Like many Americans, Dr. J.P. Jamison is practicing social isolation. Here he is on a video call from his home in North Carolina's Appalachian Mountains.
Hopefully for the foreseeable future, I'll be working exclusively from home.
Millions of Americans are staying home and away from other people to protect themselves from the global COVID-19 pandemic. Doctors and researchers agree this is a necessary step. But mental health experts have other concerns. Jamison, a psychologist and professor at Appalachian State University, says some of the very things people must do to stem the spread of the virus may also put them at greater risk for suicide.
There is some concern about isolation. We know social connectedness is a protective factor against suicide risk.
This worry was only worsened by the run on firearms some communities saw in response to the pandemic. Firearms are by far the most common means of completing suicide in America, partly because they're so lethal. Jamison studies firearm suicide. He's also a gun owner.
Certainly, when we're introducing something like a firearm into a situation where we have risk factors for suicide, that's always cause for concern.
Compounding that problem, people who are more likely to own guns, older white men, are more likely to complete suicide. They're also less likely to seek help, according to Dr. Michael Anestis, a professor of psychology at the University of Southern Mississippi.
The folks who tend to die by suicide using a firearm tend to be parts of groups, males, older adults, service members, who will often avoid the mental health care system altogether, or if they use the health care system, will underreport their thoughts of suicide.
Anestis stresses that it's not guns themselves that have a mental health effect on people.
Owning a firearm isn't going to make somebody suicidal. It might change the way a suicidal person thinks about suicide, but it doesn't make you more likely to be suicidal. What it does is change the likelihood that a suicidal person will die.
But he says there are steps people should take for themselves and their loved ones if they think they're at risk. He says that means keeping distance between firearms and at-risk people in a vulnerable state.
That means safe storage of firearms, or even better yet, storing them legally and temporarily away from home so that when folks are feeling more isolated, maybe more at risk and less able to access care, it's also just harder for them to act on those suicidal thoughts in a way that's actually likely to result in their death.
In addition to the increased isolation, many Americans are losing their jobs or seeing their businesses shut indefinitely. That means increased financial stress for tens of millions of people. At the same time, just when services like nonprofit suicide prevention hotlines might be needed the most, they need to send volunteers home temporarily for their safety. In Boise, Idaho Suicide Hotline Director John Reusser said only paid staff are at the call center right now, and only two in the phone room at a time for social distancing.
It reduces the number of folks we have available to answer calls, especially during the peak times.
And he's concerned about the future. He's also had to cancel two fundraisers for his organization, and he's not sure when he'll be able to raise much-needed funds again.
Definitely there's concern long-term. I personally am trying to sort of take this day by day and try not to worry about the coming months.
For now, Reusser says he's just focusing on helping the people who need it the most. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Druzan.
And Heath is joining us live, remotely, to talk more about this. So, Heath, just to be clear to our listeners, no one is questioning the necessity of taking steps to self-isolate and prevent the spread of COVID-19, correct?
That's correct. And very important to say up front, all of these experts I talked to said everything that the CDC is telling you, self-isolate, social distancing, wash your hands, all of that is absolutely necessary. They're just concerned that we need to have some heightened awareness of folks who are at risk and just really need to think a little bit more about how to keep ourselves safe and how to keep any at-risk loved ones safe as well.
So what are some of the steps experts say people should be taking to protect not just yourself, but your loved ones as well?
So obviously, you know, they're talking about people who are at risk for suicide and not being, not specific about means, but It's very hard to ignore that firearms are the most common method for completing suicide, and that firearms provide a very lethal means, unfortunately. So a big part of the talk that I was getting from experts is that safe storage is very important. Mm-hmm. And safe storage is a term that folks in the mental health world and the gun world use to mean separating someone who's at risk from their firearms as much as possible. That can mean locking it in a gun safe. That can mean storing ammunition and firearms away from each other. Or ideally what they say is that if you have a loved one who you think's at risk, if you can convince them to take their firearms away from them temporarily while they're in a crisis or while you think they might be at risk for suicidal thoughts, that's sort of the ideal.
Okay, but we should be honest and clear about this. There are a lot of people who will not want their loved ones to take their guns away, even if it is good for them. So then are there other steps that people can take if they are in that type of situation with a loved one?
Of course, that's something that can be very tricky. And the experts I spoke to said, even though that might be the ideal, they're realistic about it. And that there's a lot of folks who won't be comfortable with that for one reason or another. So they say, do what you can. And, you know, there's something that I think is good advice for all of us right now, which is make that call. Check on your loved ones. You know, whether or not you know for sure that they're at risk right now, it's just good to hear from people. It can actually really mean a lot just to have someone call and say, hey, how are you doing? And in addition to that, what they say is for safe storage, basically take the steps that people are comfortable with. So if you can't go all the way and, you know, have somebody give firearms to you temporarily to keep it away from them, then just do what they're comfortable with, whether or not it's locking them away, keeping the ammunition separate, basically just do what you can within their comfort level.
Well, and you bring up such a good point, Heath, about making that call, right? And staying connected. I mean, I know even just in my own life, I have a sister in Washington State, so they are on a lockdown. She has been temporarily suspended from her job as a hairstylist, and she lives alone. And she is isolated. And this, you know, she keeps saying, she goes, I don't see anything good in this. But it's, you know, so all of the sisters, we are all checking in on her on a daily basis. And I did the experts talk about that as well? Like, you know, it's maybe just those extra steps of just sending a text, even just checking on people.
Absolutely. And social isolation, which right now, unfortunately, is very necessary for a lot of us to keep COVID-19 under control. Social isolation is a reality, and that's something that heightens people's risk. That social isolation can be broken to some degree by just having people call and maybe do a video chat so you have a little bit more of an in-person feel. That just basic human interaction is really important. And I think we all know this kind of on a gut level, but it's even more important right now, especially for folks who are alone and maybe folks who are prone to loneliness right now. They might be feeling that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, because of everything we've been talking about, that there's some concern among local suicide prevention nonprofits at this time too. And you know, I'm thinking that they're needed right now, you know, maybe more so than normal.
Yeah, these guys are on the front lines. You know, for people in crisis, they are often the first call that folks make. And they're operating, they're there. People should call them when they need them. What the concern is partially long-term. Like a lot of nonprofits, they're having to cancel fundraisers. There's no in-person events because of social distancing rules or recommendations, depending on where you are. And you know, the economic reality of this right now, I think, is worrying a lot of people in the nonprofit suicide prevention world, because they do have to raise money to stay in business. And a lot of folks are losing their jobs, or businesses are tightening. So there is long-term concern. But very importantly, as John Roycer, the director of the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline, said in the story, right now they're focusing on day-to-day operations and getting people the help that they need.
Before I let you go, I want to switch gears just for a moment, because you've been tracking another story. And this is the issue of people buying up guns and ammo as the coronavirus spreads. So what are we seeing, you know, in Idaho and maybe elsewhere regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, Idaho, like a lot of places, saw at least anecdotally a surge in gun buying. You know, there were stores that even had to sort of ration certain weapons because people were buying them all up. Why is this happening? I mean, they're scared. People are scared and they're uncertain about what's going to happen in the future. And what was interesting is that we've been hearing over at Guns in America, we've been following this, and you know, we've been hearing that actually some folks already own guns, but there's a lot of first-time buyers too. So it sounds like this fear is pretty widespread.
I want to thank you for joining us today. One of these days we'll see each other back in person. So until then, thanks for joining us, Heath. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.
Well, we've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Drusen. Up next, a fun drive to find personal protective equipment for our medical community. This is Idaho Matters.